Swami Nikhil Anand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he expounds the true meaning of Prem. He explains the difference between worldly love and love for God, reveals the secret of loving God the way the Rasik saints have taught, and tells the greatness of divine love or Prem Tattva.
Asundara Sundar Shekharo Guninam Varuva Dveshi Mayasya Karunam Budhirva Krishna Saye Vadyagatir Mamayam Ashlishya Va Padartam Pinashtuma Madarshanan Marmahatam Karotuva Yatha Tatha Va Vidadhatu Lampato Mat Prananathas Tu saivana para. Aho vakiyam stanakalakutam Jighansaya paaya dhapya sadhvi Lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam Kam va dayalum sharanam vrajema Yo brahmanam vidadhati purvam Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai Tagvangha devamatma buddhi prakasham Mumukchurvai sharanamaham prapadye
Dear devotees, welcome to the family camp and we'll have a few minutes of simple Naam Sankirtan, and then I'll start with the topic of Prem, which I'm going to be speaking on for 5 days this week.
Radhe Shri Radhe 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 Shri Radhe Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Shri Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe Shri Radhe. Radhe Shri Radhe. Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe Shri Radhe. Radhe Shri Radhe. Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. 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 Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. 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 Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe Shri Radhe. Radhe Shri Radhe. Radhe 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 Shri Radhe.
अलबेली सरकार की
The topic for the next five days is going to be something that's very important to all of us, but something that we actually understand very little about, prem, pyar, love. In fact, Narad ji says, anirvachaniyam prema swarupam. What is prem? It can't be described. Why can't it be described? What is the greatness of prem? We'll look at all of these details throughout the week. Even though Naradji says it can't be explained, it can't be understood, yet we have to know something about prem. We have to love God, so we have to know something about love. So according to our scriptures, according to the writings of our great saints, as explained by Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, we'll understand something about love, about prem, what is it, and how are we supposed to do it in order to attain the ultimate goal of our life. So tonight, let's start with something simple. We're going to divide prem into four different categories. The first division, the first split, will be one side is sakam prem, one side is nishkam prem. Kam means a personal desire, a selfish desire for your own happiness. That's kam. So sakam prem means when we love someone for our own personal happiness. Nishkam prem means having no personal desire, but loving anyway. That's nishkam prem, selfless love. So we have two sections, two areas, selfish love and selfless love. And we can do either sakam or nishkam prem in the mayic area, and we can do either sakam or nishkam prem in the divine area. So now we have four kinds of prem. Selfish love towards the world, selfless love towards the world, selfish love towards God, and selfless love towards God. Sakam, mayik, sakam prem, mayik, nishkam prem, devotional sakam prem, and devotional nishkam prem. So, why do we have only these two areas? You can understand very simply through a little bit of philosophy of our Vedas, meaning you can either love in Maya or you can love God. Those are your only two choices. Love a person or thing under the bondage of Maya, or love God or any saint who is beyond the bondage of Maya. Only two choices, two areas. And the reason is that there are only three things that exist: the souls, God, and Maya. These are the only three tattva, the three eternal existences. So the souls are the ones who are, hum log prem karte hain. So we are loving, so we have two choices. Love someone under Maya or love someone beyond Maya. So that's why we have the two areas and then two kinds of love within each area. So let's start with sakam prem within Maya. This one out of the four, we're all expert at. The others, we have much less experience or no experience with. But this one, all of us know very well. All of our relationships in this world involve this desire to find happiness. We love our mother for happiness. Whose happiness? Our happiness. We love our husband or wife for happiness. Their happiness? No, our happiness.
Sarvesham api bhutanam nripasvatmaiva ballabha itare patya vittadyas tadvallabhatayaivahi.
Bhagavatam. Vedavyasji writes that everything that we do is for our own happiness. So it means that we also love for our own happiness. We love our children for our happiness. Whatever we do is for our own happiness. This is our nature. So we know this kind of love very well. In this kind of love, the more happy someone makes you through their virtues or through their behavior, the more you love them. And the less happiness they give you, the less you love them. And if someone stops giving you happiness, or if you know someone who gives you unhappiness, then you have the opposite reaction. Instead of loving them, you develop dislike or even hatred for that person. So this is the love of the world, sakam prem for the world. What about nishkam prem in the mayic area? This is in fact, in English, what we call an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms. Sakam prem in the mayic area is natural and everybody does it. And nishkam prem in the mayic area is unnatural and in fact impossible. And the reason is that it goes against our nature. So you might be thinking, it goes against our nature, it must mean we're all very bad people. That's not what it means. It's because our nature is to seek happiness. We are all ansh of Ananda Brahm. I'm just going quickly over this philosophy because all of you sitting here have heard Sri Maharaj Ji explain this many times. That Krishna is divine bliss. He is Anand and we are his ansh. We're a part of him. We're his power. And it's the nature of every ansh to desire his anshi. So we naturally desire Krishna. It's our nature. It means no one had to teach you. No one had to force you to do that. So we naturally desire God, which is another way of saying we naturally desire happiness, because God is happiness. So it means we never learned to desire happiness. We were never trained. We never had to practice desiring happiness because it is our nature. It's our identity. It's who we are. As souls, we desire perfect happiness, that and nothing else. So that is in fact the driving force behind everything we do. We've never even taken a breath without this motivation behind it. To find happiness. We've never so much as opened our eyes to look at something without this motivation behind it, to find happiness. So happiness is what we all want, or you can say happiness is the only thing we all want. It's the only thing we care about. It's the only thing we can care about. Because it's who we are. We are ansh of Anand, so we can never be satisfied until we find Anand. So it means, think about it, until a person finds Anand, they can't think about anything else but finding Anand. So it means everything we're going to do will have this one reason behind it. Finding happiness for ourselves until we attain God. After attaining God, then you can think about someone else's happiness. But until we attain God, as long as we're under Maya, we can only desire our happiness. That's the one thing behind everything we do. Nothing else can replace that as a motivating factor. You can't decide, no, instead of being motivated by my happiness, I'm going to be motivated by something else. And for that reason, I'll perform this action. It's impossible. Because that's the original desire. So it means everything we do is for our own happiness, including loving. All of us sitting here are under Maya, and none of us have attained perfect happiness. So it means we're all still desiring that with every breath. So this is why nishkam prem in the mayic field is impossible. Not because we're bad people, not because our nature is bad, because we all share the same nature of desiring happiness, and until we find that happiness, nothing else can motivate us. So why do we love? Nava are patyu kamaya pati priyo bhavatyat manastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Nava are sarvasya kamaya sarvam priyam bhavatyat manastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. The Vedas say that everyone that we love for our happiness, because it's our nature. Not because we're bad, but it's just the way things work. We desire happiness, and this is why we love others. The more they give us that happiness, jate kachhu nij swarath hoi, ta par mamta karai sab koi. Wherever we're getting more happiness, that's where we'll love more. Wherever we get less happiness, we'll love less. Where we get no happiness, love finishes. So we don't love for other people's happiness. This is the point. That would be nishkam prem. If we could love for someone else's happiness, that would be nishkam prem. But loving for our happiness is sakam prem, and that is our nature. That's what we all do up until God realization. So it's impossible to have nishkam prem in this mayic field. That's why the scriptures say, sarva swartham samihate. We're all swarthi. This is in common conversation. If you tell someone they're swarthi, you're selfish, they'll be insulted. But it's not a bad thing. It's the nature of the soul. Sur nar muni sab ki yahriti swarath lagi karahi sab priti. Celestial gods do the same thing because they're also under Maya. So everyone under Maya who is bereft of divine bliss, we all love with some kind of selfish intention behind it. Doesn't mean we're bad people. Doesn't mean we have a bad motive. Our motive is simply our own happiness. The closest thing we could find to selfless love in this world is the way parents love a newborn child. Because that child is not really doing anything at this point to love their parents back. When someone is full grown, then you have expectations that if I do something nice for you, well, first expectation is that you should appreciate it. You should notice that I did something nice for you, and you should thank me, you should express your appreciation. That's the first expectation. Second expectation, you should also return the favor, because I'm keeping score. But a baby doesn't even recognize that who's my mother, who's my father, what is a mother, what is a father. This child is so young, he or she has no idea. So the baby is not giving any love in return. Yet the parents are doing everything. Their whole life is for that child. They don't sleep because the child doesn't sleep. The child wakes up at all hours of the night, needs to be fed. The belly is hurting, needs his diaper changed. The parents don't sleep for that whole first year. Even if they have to go to work the next day, they stay up the whole night with the baby. So the parent must be thinking, this is nishkam prem. This child is not loving me in return, and look at everything we're doing for him. But there in the back of our mind, there is some kind of hope of getting happiness. You may, if you know the Vedas, you may have this idea in mind that when I die, my son will perform my Shraddh and I'll get to go to Swarg. Or when I get older, he'll take care of me. He'll do my seva. Or he'll make me proud. He'll become a doctor or prime minister or president. Something like this, we have some idea in mind, even if it's just, oh, when he gets older, he'll recognize me as his mother or his father. He'll love me back when he gets older. We have all of those desires. So it means we do desire happiness from that child. So it means everything has that reason behind it, the desire for our own happiness. Now, what if someone actually could love selflessly in this world? Someone says, no, I can do nishkam prem. I do it all the time. Okay, even though it goes against all logic, let's say you actually could. What would you get? What is the outcome of that? Interestingly, the outcome of nishkam prem for a mayic person, for someone under Maya, meaning you love someone or something under Maya. Whether it is sakam or nishkam, you get the exact same result. Yanti devavrata devan pitrin yanti pitribrata bhutani yanti bhutejya Yanti madhyajino pimam Gita. Whatever you attach your mind to, that's what you attain. So whether you attach your mind to someone with sakam prem or you attach your mind to someone with nishkam prem, you get the same result. If they were a tamas person, you'll go with them to Narak. If they were a rajas person, you'll be reborn somewhere with them in this world, and if they were a sattvic person, you'll go with them to Swarg. Whatever you've attached your mind to, that is what you'll attain. Let's say there's a father who has two daughters, and he gets them both married to millionaires. Now the one daughter was married to a millionaire who lost everything. He became completely bankrupt and they were out on the street. So he lost everything. She also became a beggar. The other daughter got married to a millionaire, but this millionaire became a billionaire. It means she also became a billionaire. Something like this, like we say in America, you hitched your wagon to the wrong horse. So wherever that horse goes, that's where it's going to take you. So if you hitch your wagon to a mayic horse, you'll end up in Maya. If you attach your mind to someone beyond Maya, you go beyond Maya as well. You attain divine bliss. You attain your ultimate goal. But as long as our mind is attached, even if it's through selfless love, pure selfless love with no expectation of one's own happiness, yet you still attached your mind in Maya, so what is the outcome? You're reborn under Maya. More suffering of this world, more tritap, bondage of karma, bondage of Maya, all of that is perpetuated because we attached our mind in the world. So, looking at the outcome, even if someone could love selflessly in this world, it doesn't make any difference. It still keeps you bound by Maya. Now, if someone loves God or any God-realized saint, meaning someone who's beyond Maya, the outcome is very different. Let's take sakam prem first. Sakam prem towards Krishna. This is also divided into two areas. Sakam prem, meaning we have a desire for our own happiness. We want to enjoy something through our five senses to make us happy. But we're desiring that from Krishna. So this is sakam prem towards Krishna. But we're going to divide this into two categories. Asking Krishna for the world and asking Krishna for something divine. So take the first one. Sakam prem towards Krishna, asking him for the world. This in fact is not devotion to Krishna. It's not love to Krishna, even though I'm saying sakam prem towards Krishna, but what are you asking for? The world. So it means you're still loving the world. You're not loving Krishna because you're not even asking for him. It means the person who does that hasn't even understood, is there happiness in the world or is there happiness in Krishna? This is kakha gagha, ABCDs of the spiritual path. That's the first thing you need to figure out, because you know you want happiness, so where is it? Is it in Maya or is it in God? Oh, it's in God. Okay then, I'll pray to God. Krishna, please give me a nice wife. Krishna, please give me $1,000,000. Krishna, please give me a nice child. Krishna, please give me a promotion. So happiness is in Krishna, and I'm praying to him, and what am I asking for? I'm asking for the same things that I already decided there's no happiness in. So we can never attain God through this kind of devotion. It's not love for Krishna, it's love for the world. It's the same we just talked about. Our mind is still attached in the world, so we'll only attain the world. Besides that, many people don't know that Krishna doesn't get involved in people's worldly prosperity. It's not his concern. Avashyameva bhok. Tavyam kritam karma shubha shubham Mahabharat. Dissension of Bhagwan Vedavyasji writes, you have to undergo the consequences of your past good and bad actions. So what you did in your last life, that's going to determine the good and bad that happens to you in this life. Your own actions in this life are not predetermined. Your thoughts and actions are in your hands, that's your free will, that will determine your destiny in your next life, if you have a next life. But this life, the good and bad that's going to happen to us, not what we're going to do, what's going to happen to us, will we be rich or poor, famous or infamous? What good or bad things that we call good or bad luck, how many of those will happen to us? That's already decided by our past life's actions. So that is all managed by the spiritual government, meaning Brahma, Yamraj. They manage all these affairs, that what has to happen to this person because this karma, this is what we call the spiritual government. So Krishna says, you're praying to me and asking me for all of these things, but this whole area is managed by my employees. I don't interfere. Whatever is the rule of the law of karma, that you will get. So Gauranga Mahaprabhuji says, Amaya bhaje mange vishaya sukh ei bada murkh. There could be no bigger fool than someone who worships Supreme God and asks for the world. Never mind that he's not going to give it to us, no matter how nicely we ask, or how many times we ask, or how many rounds of our jap beads we do, or how long we fast for, however we try to bargain with him, that if I come to the mandir every day for the next month, will you give me this? He's not going to give us that thing, but what, let's say, okay, someone says, no, he fulfills my desires. Whatever I ask him for, he gives me that. Okay, let's say you ask him for $1,000,000 and he gave you $1,000,000. Did you consider that would you be satisfied with those $1,000,000? You think you would, but you can't even buy a mansion for $1 million. In some neighborhoods, you can't even buy a normal house for $1 million in some neighborhoods in New York, LA, Washington, D.C. $1 million is not much money anymore. So you'll get tired of that $1 million pretty soon and you'll decide, I think I need $10 million. So you'll ask again. And even if he gives you $10 million, you'll have to ask for $100 million, then $1 billion. This sickness, that it just goes on increasing. Ye mangna ki bimari. There's no end to it. Imagine that even Indra is not satisfied. Surapatir Brahmam Padam Yachate. Indra desires the seat of Brahma. Now this might not mean anything to us because we can't remember what it's like in Swarg, but we can imagine mathematically that you have to multiply the bliss or the pleasure of this earth planet by hundreds of times to equal the pleasure of the lowest celestial abode. And you multiply that by hundreds of times, and you have the next abode. So the lowest abode is Manava Gandharva Lok. Then you have Deva Gandharva Lok. And it keeps going up to Indra's abode. Indra's abode is actually millions of times more enjoyable than the pleasures here. And he's not happy. He says, Brahma has more pleasure than I do, more power, more luxury. I want what he has. So, Ved says, for someone who desires to go to Swarg and enjoy that happiness, which is millions of times greater than any happiness of this earth planet, Ved says, Pramurha. He's the greatest fool. So imagine, if someone who desires to go to Swarg and enjoy those pleasures is being called a fool by the Vedas, then what could we be called who are asking God for much less than that? We're asking Him for the things of this world. So what kind of fool are we? Let's say you came along and you saw someone by a fire, and he's pouring ghee on the fire, and as he pours it on, it flares up. The fire gets big and almost singes him. So he pours even more ghee on. And you say, excuse me, brother, what are you trying to do here? I'm trying to put the fire out. You're putting it out by putting ghee on it? Yes. But it's getting bigger the more ghee you put on it. I know. It's confounding. But I'm not going to give up until it gets out. So I'm just going to keep pouring ghee on until this fire goes out. This is ye hamara hal hai. Because worldly desires have a nature to go on increasing. The more you get, the more you want. You see it in your kids. You give them a toy, you give them a new video game, a new phone, whatever it is, a new computer. How long are they satisfied with it? Not for long. Their desires multiply and they need the next best thing, bigger thing, faster. We're the exact same way. So, by fulfilling a material desire, no one can put an end to that desire. Just like pouring ghee on the fire. We're stubborn, just like that person. No, I'm going to keep pouring ghee on this fire until it goes out. I'm going to keep enjoying the pleasures of this world until I'm fully satisfied. If you came across such a person who was stubbornly saying, making this dava, that I'm not going to give up until I have poured so much ghee on this fire that it has become extinguished. If you saw someone doing that, you'd be on the phone to the mental hospital saying, I think you need to come in. You have a new patient. Come and lock him up. Yet we're doing the same thing for uncountable lifetimes. If you saw someone holding a paper And he had a lens, a magnifying glass, and he was holding it to his ear, trying to understand what's on that paper. You'd be on the phone again to the mental hospital. Yet we find ourselves doing the same thing. We're trying to give material pleasures to our divine soul. See, just like light, the things that you can see, objects of the world, they are the subject of your eyes, not of your ears. Sound is the subject of your ears. So the ears can perceive sound. Your eyes can perceive light. So if you try to see with your ears, you'll be considered crazy. It's two separate departments. And this is within Maya. See, all of these things, the things we see, the things we hear, the things we taste, the things we smell, the things we touch, these are all Mayic things. And our senses are Mayic. Our nose, our sense of smell, Mayic. Sense of sight, Mayic. Sense of touch, Mayic. Everything Mayic. So you'd think, okay, why shouldn't I be able to see from my ear? Sound is Mayic and my ear is Mayic. So why shouldn't I be able to hear? But you can't. Separate departments even within Maya. Now we're changing the field completely. We're talking about divine. Your soul is divine, not Mayic. Yet you're trying to give material things to your soul and say, are you happy now? And your soul can never be happy with that because it's completely separate departments. So asking God for the world doesn't work out from any perspective. He won't fulfill those worldly desires. And even if he did, we wouldn't be any further ahead. We'd just go on asking for more and more, and in the process, we'd be multiplying our desires and worldly attachments. So, we're covering the field of Sakam Prem towards Krishna, and I explained that asking Krishna for worldly things, this is not loving Krishna at all. But loving Krishna with the desire for your happiness to be received when you see Krishna, smell Krishna, hear Krishna, touch Krishna, that is real Sakam Prem. Again, your desire is selfish. I want to be happy. By seeing Krishna, I will receive unlimited happiness. So now you're a jnani. You have the right knowledge. There's bliss in God. God is bliss. He has unlimited beauty. You know that the world is always limited. So now you're not an ajnani who's asking God for the world. You're a jnani. You're saying, God, you are happiness, so I want you. Excellent. Now you're on the right track. What will someone attain who has selfish desires, but who wants those desires fulfilled by attaining God? Meaning, I want to be happy by meeting Krishna. You attain Krishna. You go beyond Maya. So desiring God, even with selfish intentions, that I'll be happy, you achieve what you could not even achieve with perfect, pure, selfless love in this world because of the phenomenon of attachment. Wherever you attach your mind, that is what you'll attain. So if you attach your mind in the world, even with selfless love, you'll only attain Maya. And there's no happiness anywhere within this Mayic field. And if you attach your mind to Krishna, even with selfish desires, not selfish meaning Krishna, give me the world, selfish meaning Krishna, come to me. I want to see your divine beauty and experience unlimited happiness in that. I want to experience Brahma Sparsh. If Krishna puts his hand on you, imagine even someone you love, if they put their hand on your shoulder, how comforting it is. What would it feel like if Krishna did that? In the Bhagavatam, Kubja is praised. She is such a devotee.
Durāradhyam samāradhya Vishnum sarveshvareshvaram Yo vrinite manograhya masatvat kumanishyasau.
Who's praising Kubja? Shukadevji Paramahans. He's beyond Maya. He's a Paramahans. He himself is absorbed in divine bliss and he's praising Kubja, who was such a selfish devotee. We say that she loved Krishna with sadharani rati. It means that she loved Krishna as her beloved. Her mind wasn't attached anywhere in Maya. And she loved Krishna the same way you would love someone in this world. And with the same selfish desires we have when we love in the world. Just like we love someone in the world because they're going to make me happy. She loved Krishna the exact same way. Krishna is going to make me happy, so I love him. And Shukadevji Paramahans is praising her, saying that, no, in the world, if you desire any worldly thing, then that's kumanishyasau. Then your mind is only going to become more impure by desiring the world. But Kubja, even with a selfish desire for Krishna, went beyond Maya.
Thus it said, Krishna bhakti sakamopi varonya sevakat khalu nishkamadapi tatkamo yato mokchaya kalpate.
A selfish devotee of Krishna is better than a selfless devotee of the world, because the selfish devotee of Krishna goes beyond Maya, and the selfless devotee of the world, even of any celestial god, still remains under the bondage of Maya. There were even gopis who loved Krishna in this way. Our great saints have described that there were three classes of gopis. One class, which about whom we normally hear, the highest class of gopis, they loved Krishna with nishkam prem. They had no selfish desire. But the lowest class of gopi, the third class gopis, many of them were richas of the Vedas, personified verses of the Vedas who had descended as gopis to receive Krishna's divine love. About them, Naradji says, Nastyeva tasmins tat sukha sukhitvam. They did not have this philosophy of tat sukha sukhitvam, meaning loving Krishna for his happiness. Those gopis, the third class gopis, they didn't follow that philosophy. They loved Krishna as Kubja had loved Krishna, with selfish desires. In fact, Naradji says in his Narad Bhakti Darshan, Tatrapi namahatmya jnana vismrityapavadaha. Some of those gopis didn't even know who Krishna was. In that Leelakshetra, although they were all divine personalities, but those gopis who loved Krishna in that way, just with selfish prem, they didn't know who he was. They didn't love him because he was God. They simply loved him the way you would get attracted or attached to any person in this world.
Tadvihinam jaranamiva.
Naradji says, just like a person in the world loves another person, in the same way these gopis, the lowest class of gopis, they loved Krishna not even knowing he was God. Shukadevji told Parikshit that in the Bhagavatam. He said, Tameva paramatmanam jara buddhyapi sangata. He said, some gopis loved Krishna in that way. Just like you see people in the world. Vallabhacharya said, Kriya sarvapi saivatra
param kamo na vidyate. If you look physically at the actions of how the gopis loved Krishna and how, let's say, Romeo and Juliet loved each other, and compare physically how does someone express their love in the world and how does someone express their love in the divine field, to someone's eyes it would look exactly the same. Kriya, the physical, what you do, is exactly the same. Yet the result is totally different, as I explained. When you love any person under Maya, you attain Maya. And when you love any person beyond Maya, whether it be Krishna or a God-realized saint, then you go beyond Maya. So when Shukadevji told this to Parikshit, that some of the gopis loved Krishna without even knowing he was God, then he got a little bit confused. He said, Krishnam viduh param kantam natu brahma tayamune guna pravaho paramas tasam guna dhyam katham. So Guruji, he's asking Shukadevji, if those gopis loved Krishna the same way a woman loves a man in the world, with the same feelings, they didn't know he was God, they didn't love him for his happiness, they loved for their own happiness, those third class gopis, those richas of the Vedas, then how did they go beyond Maya? If they loved in what seems to be a Mayic way, how did they go beyond Maya? I don't understand. So Shukadevji scolded Parikshit a little bit at this point. He said, Uktam purasta de tatte chaidyam siddhim yathagatam dvishannapi hrishikesham kimuta dhoksha japriya. Parikshit, I already explained this to you one time. When he was explaining to him about Shishupal, he explained that after Krishna had killed Shishupal, Shishupal went to the divine abode. So at that time also, Parikshit had asked, how is that possible? He spent his whole life despising Shri Krishna. He insulted him 100 times in the open court with all the rulers and respected people of India there. In front of all of them, he insulted Krishna 100 times. And Krishna gave him his divine abode? How is that? So at that time, he had explained to him that however you attach your mind to Krishna, through love, through enmity, through fear, like Kans, bhayat kansa, kamat gopyah. The gopis loved Krishna with positive feelings. Kans attached his mind to Krishna through fear. Shishupal through dvesh. But they all did one thing in common. They attached their mind to Krishna. The attachment comes when you think about someone. Whether you're loving them, then they're always in your mind. You become like one. That person becomes one with your mind. If you hate somebody, the same thing happens. You think about them so much, disliking them, that they become one with your mind. If you fear someone, like Kans, he feared Krishna so much, he saw him everywhere. He just thought about Krishna only, day and night. Everywhere he looked, he thought he saw Krishna coming. And in the same way, the gopis, chitta dekhun tit shama mayi hain, wherever they looked, they saw Krishna, out of love, and Kans out of fear, and Shishupal out of extreme dislike. But just like if you have a parasmani that has the power to turn iron into gold, simply by touching. So if you lovingly touch the two of them together, the iron becomes gold. If you angrily smash them together, the iron becomes gold. If you accidentally touch them together, the iron still becomes gold. If you don't even know it's a potus. One time when the master of the house was out, his servant was still there. And it so happened that someone came begging at the door. He was a saint who had a potus money. And he had no use for wealth. He had all the divine wealth he needed right here. So he was happy just begging from a couple houses every day, getting a couple roti, and the rest of the time he thought of God. So he came to the door with that potas, and he told the servant that this is a potas money. You take this and give me a little bit of rice and dal. So that servant, he was illiterate. He had no idea what is a potas money, what power does it have. But it might be something good, so I'll keep it for my master when he gets home, the owner of the house. I'll show it to him, and he might find some value in it. So he kept it, and he served that saint. The saint went away. So when that Sethji got home that night, he sat down in his chair after a long day. He was so stressed, and that servant came to him and said, "Oh, master, and the potas money just looks like a regular rock." So he says, "Someone brought this today and I kept it for you." And he said, "A rock? What do I have?" No, he said, "It's a potas money." So Sethji knew what a potas money was, and he wasn't about to believe that, "Oh, someone's just going to come to your door and give you a potas money? You fool." And he just threw it like that. And it bounced into the kitchen. And it came into contact with one of the iron cooking vessels, and it became gold. And Sethji thought, "Oh, it is a potas money." So now he was the richest person, because whatever iron thing he wanted, he could go and touch it and make it gold. So the potas does whatever it has the power to do automatically. You don't even have to know it's a potas money. In the same way, if you attach your mind to Krishna, even if you don't know He's God, like at that time, this is only possible during Avatar Kaal, when Krishna is on the earth planet, then if anyone loves Him, even if you don't know who He is, you just think He's a handsome young boy, and you fall in love with Him, and you attach your mind to Him, and you keep thinking about Him. Just like if a girl sees a boy in the world and thinks, "Oh, he's handsome," and she does chintan. She keeps thinking about Him all the time. Let's say someone does that with Krishna, not even knowing who He is. They'll actually get God realized by doing that, because Krishna is divine and they attached their mind. Their mind became one with Him. So Shukdevji told Parikshit, "Listen again, I'm telling you this philosophy again. Kamam krodham bhayam sneham. Sneha maikyam sauhridamevacha nityam harau vidadhato." He says, whatever you bring into your mind, you become like that, and whatever you have your mind attached to, that is what you will attain. So the gopis loved Krishna. If Shishupal could attain Krishna through enmity, by doing continuous remembrance of Krishna through enmity, and he attained Krishna. And the gopis loved Krishna. So how could you question the validity of them going beyond Maya? The same principle applies there. Navastu shaktir buddhim apekshate. The thing, whatever its value is, whatever its power is, it reacts accordingly, regardless of your mental understanding. Na buddhim apekshate. It doesn't matter whether you know or not. Let's say you have some davai. You take some pill. So what's in these Ayurvedic pills? I don't know, I read the label, some words I recognize, some words I don't. I put it in my mouth and makes my throat feel better. That's all that matters to me. The person who made this kantil, who knows exactly what's in it, the properties of each and every herb which are in there, if he puts it in his mouth, will he get more effect than I get? No. Because na vastu buddhir shaktim apekshate, it makes no difference. The thing gives its effect, regardless of your thinking. If there's a fire burning, and you trip into it by mistake, you'll get burnt. If you jump into it on purpose, you'll get burnt. If you take poison by accident, or you take poison on purpose, the poison has the same effect. So, attaching your mind to God is the same. You attach your mind to Krishna knowing He's God, or not knowing He's God, the effect is the same. Now, here someone may have a doubt or try to find a loophole, thinking that, since Krishna is omnipresent in the world, it means whoever I love, I'm actually loving Krishna. Is it not so? You're saying if I love any person under Maya, be it my mother, father, child, husband, wife, whoever it is, if they're under Maya, I will only attain Maya. But Krishna is also within them. So even though I'm not thinking of Krishna, I'm indirectly loving Krishna by loving them. So why shouldn't I attain God realization by doing that? We're going to have to save this topic for tomorrow, and I'll also go on to the next, the fourth category of love, which is Nishkam Prem for Shri Krishna. So we'll finish with a few minutes of Kirtan. Someone can pass out the Kripa Karu sheets. You can also face the shrine.
Kripa karu, kripa karu, kripa karu, Radhe. Kripa karu, kripa karu, kripa karu, Radhe. Kripa karu, kripa karu, Radhe. Kripa karu, kripa karu, kripa karu, Radhe. Kripa karu, kripa karu, Radhe.
Kripa karu, kripa karu, kripa karu, Radhe.
Kripa karu, kripa karu, kripa karu, Radhe.
Kripa karu, Radhe.
काही तनु तोरा कृपा करु राधे
न चाहूं
कृ कृपा करु राधे न्याय न चाहूं कृपा करु राधे कृपा करु राधे कृपा करु कृपा करु कृपा करु राधे कृपा करु कृपा करु कृपा करु राधे कृपा करु कृपा करु कृपा करु राधे
श्रीमत युगल सरकार की।